Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. We are continuing the story of Lock and Key, so let's get to the issue.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into the next issue, the third issue here.
Book of Lovecraft, Chapter 3.
This one is going to be a Kinsey-centric issue. We start out with her having a flashback of the time Sam Lester came and ruined their family. She is holding Bode up on the roof again.
While Sam was following the footprints. Tyler's footprints down.
And she says here that, the day her dad died, and he's been dead for 3 months and 3 days. And then they moved cross-country to Lovecraft, Massachusetts. And we see, the picture we see is her with her dreadlocks, basically all Rastafarian. I think what Bode said the last previous issue, like, she looked like a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she took out the dreadlocks, and now she's just...
And the rings. Well, her hair... Yeah. Piercings and stuff.
Her hair does seem to change with, like, her personality almost.
Yes. Which will...
Or her mood. I would also like to point out that she's always got that bangle on her arm.
Oh, the bracelet. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very prominent thing that she constantly is wearing. Yes. It's the one thing that never changes, I guess. Yeah.
Well, her dad gave it to her. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the things
I know. I was just pointing out that, like, no matter, like, when she changes from, like, having the dreadlocks to not having the dreadlocks, and then from the not, and from wearing, like, the punkish clothes to wearing, the skirt and, like, prep girl looking shit almost, she always has the bangle on regardless.
Yeah, she does seem sentimental.
Yeah, again, it's the one of the things her dad gave her. She wanted, remember her dad for that. And these couple panels, we get her changing her look, taking her dreads out, like you said,
washing her hair, but
going from that look to a normal teenager look. And she even makes mention that every time she sees her reflection, she jumps because she doesn't know who she's looking at, and she's not used to that yet.
Right, that moment when she was on the rooftop has, like, been ingrained almost. Yes. She's terrified because of that, which
is fair.
Plays into things later on.
Yeah. So we go back to Sam. He is taking advantage of his newfound keys that the Echo gave to him. He's already gotten out of his cell, and now he's using the mirror to watch the patrol come through.
Yeah, and I kind of want to point something out with the mirror, actually. It's silver in this image.
Yes, it's not gold.
The previous one was gold, maybe it really is an Echo.
That's a good point.
Not just the actual physical thing moved.
Or they just didn't color it right.
I'd also like to point out that these are probably some of the worst guards.
Right.
Not noticing a fucking, foot-tall mirror sticking out of a door.
He's definitely not Solid Snake.
But the guard wasn't paying attention, even though if you look in the mirror, he's looking right at the mirror. Nice. But as the security guard comes walking up to the kitchens, is what the sign says, getting ready to swipe his badge to open it up for him to go work on, the maintenance guy to go work on whatever, we see Sam sulking in the shadows, and the minute
Sulking? Sulking would be, whining.
Fair enough. We see Sam skulking in the shadows, my bad. And as soon as the guard gets close, he's already taken the scissors apart, and stabs the guard in the eye and the neck. And then grabs the key card, swipes it to unlock the door, and has the guard's gun pointed at the maintenance guy. We can assume he just shot him. I mean, they don't show it.
Right.
But can straight up assume he shot him.
They do an interesting transition, like, method throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
Where he's pointing the gun at this guy, but in the next panel, it switches to track team, where the lady is holding her hand up and saying bang.
Mm-hmm.
They do that a lot in this entire series.
This is Ellie Whedon, I believe, if I remember correctly, the coach for track. And we see that Kinsey is trying out for track. And she... It's funny because she's just run... Like, she's trying to run away from her problems, it almost seems like. But she doesn't realize what she's doing because she's just running. And it pushes this one girl, like, to run faster. I mean, I remember when I was in sports, mainly gym class, because I never ran for shit in sports. Didn't have to. Well, had to.
Didn't want to. In wrestling, we had to run.
I remember that.
That was horrible.
Didn't want to. Had to. But if you're already on the top of the food chain, you don't want somebody to try and overpower you or bypass you. So you go push harder, and this girl, Jackie, makes mention of that, it's like, this, this is the hardest I've had to run, I haven't run like that in practice in a while. I was like, you're good for helping me do that. And she is trying to become friends with Kinsey. And she asked if Kinsey is free next Saturday to go and run. There's a couple paths on the island. And she's got her hand extended for, you know, a handshake, you know, trying to meet the new girl.
Introduce herself.
Yeah.
Get to know her.
Kinsey cuts her off like, I'm busy. Saturday, I can't do anything. And she's like,
literally flinches away from her hand, outstretched hand.
And then Jackie's like, well, okay, what about the Saturday after? And she's like, I got stuff most Saturdays, so I can't. I'm sorry, I can't. Just leaves. Leaving Jackie with her hand extended. Kind of sad, but she goes home and she starts to... Well, she goes home and she is just kind of coping her own way of getting away from everybody. And she sees Tyler. Tyler's new projects nowadays is to just fix up the house. He's doing tiny jobs around the house, making the house better. Because it's just been Tyler, or it's just been Duncan for years, and he doesn't even live there. Like, Duncan just owns the place.
Yeah.
Duncan, I believe, lives with his boyfriend in Massachusetts.
Somewhere.
Boston, I think. Yeah. I think he actually lives in Boston.
Yeah.
And so he's over there reciting
he's putting down restoning paving stones, I guess. Yeah, he's putting down paving stones in their little path through the garden.
And she makes mention that he's okay, he's sweating his way into a healthier place. A lot of hard, stupid work is the best thing for him. The panel we see, however, is him standing over Sam Lester's body with a brick in hand and the, what's that?
Trowel.
Trowel, thank you. In the other hand. It's kind of a creepy image if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's because he can't get it out of his head.
Exactly.
Yeah, he can't let go of it.
Exactly. So all this work that he's doing is basically, you know, him just...
He's trying to do mindless work, but it's not working.
It looks like Kinsey's actually in the comic books there. That's actually a comic book. I just looked that up.
Did you?
It's called Pride of Baghdad. Yeah.
See, I was trying to read that when we were...
Yeah.
How long were you looking? Yeah, is that IEW by Jeff? Oh, Vertigo. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's Vertigo.
Interesting.
Brian K. Vaughn?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm going to have to look into that one.
So I'm kind of curious now.
Yeah. Okay, so we got Bo trying to show Kinsey the ghost door. And
is some funny shit.
This is great.
Yeah, this entire
scene. So he opens it, unlocks the door, opens it, walks through. He does the, you know when you were a kid and you die? That thing?
Yeah.
He does that and slams on the ground. And she is just... in his face, yelling, this is stupid, you're being a creep, stop doing this, you're being dumb.
Yeah.
Walks away, and she pops up, pops back into the room, and she's like, you know, get up, Bo. I don't like this, this is scary.
Yeah, she seems to be taking it seriously. So
yeah, now, she goes to reach through the door, but then Bo pops in back into his body, and he says, something's wrong, something terrible happened. He's telling Mom about it now. The one whose name means born at night.
He seems to be oddly prophetic in some situations. I know that he was a ghost at the time.
I was not really a prophet. He's seeing it happen.
But he also has been dreaming about things that are actually very important. So he's kind of an interesting character.
I think that's more the Key House. Like I said earlier, Key House is honing in on the younger individuals.
Sure. It definitely seems to influence the people that are living in it, for sure.
Yes.
So anyway, you know, Kinsey walks in to talk to her mom, and she's like, hey, Bode's being weird, and will you please? And then she just kind of stops, and her mom's, you know, is like, hey, Kinsey, can this wait? This is Detective Mutuku.
Sure. Sounds right.
With the state police, and he and I have things to talk about. Why don't you just go to your room? So she's in her room, and you can see a sound coming through the vent. So she gets closer to the vent. And she can pick up what her mom is talking to the officer about. And basically, her mom's like, you know, that little bastard should have been in juvenile detention. He should have been, you know, locked away. And
it does say right here, 17 years old.
There you go, 17. And then basically she finds out that he escaped.
Yep. And we see Sam. He is basically hitching a ride wherever. He was told to go to Massachusetts. And so he's in the back of a cow truck, moving truck, I guess. I don't know. And they're going through Wyoming at the moment. So
it's a moo hole.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Anyway, so we go back to Kinsey talking to her mom, and she asks if her mom, Lena, asks if Kinsey heard all that. And she's like, yeah, I heard a bunch of it. And so they embrace, they hug because, you know, this kid ruined their lives. And so now they have a cop protecting them, sitting outside their gate. And that is going to be their protection, I guess.
Well, to a degree.
Because... Well, they even say that, you know, they think he's coming here. And Nina says, no, it's a precaution just in case he does. But they really don't think he is. I mean, we know full well that he is, but...
I like what Nina says here on the next page, though. He's not coming here, and he's done with us. And if he does turn up here, he better hope the cops get him, because the next homicidal maniac who comes into our way is going to find another homicidal maniac waiting for him. And as she's saying this, she picks up a gun.
Yeah. Because Kinsey says, you know, I thought Dad said it wasn't safe to have guns in the house because of Bode. And Nina's like, your dad wasn't available to express his opinion.
It's in the table. It's in the table by my bed, which is where you'll look for it if you need it. I already told Ty. So basically, you know, they've at least got, you know, some sort of protection in the house.
She remembers that Mutuku sounds like an African name, and her mom said, "Yeah, I asked him about that. It's a tribal name. I guess he came here when he was a boy. It means born at night." Kind of got a cute little accent, doesn't he? So we already see the seeds of the attraction popping in right now. But Kinsey's just kind of like, wait, born at night. It's stuck in her head because that's what Bode said. We go to the next page.
Yeah, mainly in the next page is she's just kind of reminiscing over things, thinking about how nothing has really changed. But in the next panel, it will show that she sees some people painting the inside of the school as she's passing by the track coach with white paint. And clearly it triggers some memories from that day, and she's overwhelmed and runs to the door to a window and throws up out the window, which she's suitably embarrassed about.
I love the part at the bottom, though, where you hear there's two speech bubbles. It says, ah, shit, get out of the way.
Yeah, people clearly saw what was happening.
Well, not only that, but I mean, you hear a noise. You go, I don't know what it is in the human brain. You look at the noise.
No, could you imagine, though, hearing that and looking up and just having, like, oh, slack around
your... That would fucking suck.
That would really suck.
You know, she apologizes for spewing out her window, the coach's window. And the coach asks if she wants some water to get the taste out of her mouth. So this is interesting. She asks if you upchuck on anyone. She says no, but everyone's looking up here. Which is interesting because I know later on we meet somebody that says she upchucked on him. So.
Right, yeah. I actually forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't know if it was true. It may have just been right there. But
he was probably just trying to.
I think
he
was just right there.
Yeah.
This is great because then the coach, because she's starting to wallow in.
Oh, I'm a freak. I'm a loser. You know, everybody's always staring at me.
And the coach is like, give yourself a fucking break.
She's like, her eyes get all white. She's like, what? Excuse me?
Right. And that's probably the moment that really, like, kind of gets her to change a
little bit. She finally realizes that I've just been through hell. Like, everybody's staring at me, but they're seeing me, they're getting ready for me to break down. I've got to be stronger. I've got to take control of myself. And, talking with the coach, it kind of helps. It helped her work through some things at that moment. But the coach sees her bracelet and asks about it. And she said that's when she says her dad gave it to her. She mentions, is that a key? And Kinsey's like, yeah, he said it was like a reminder. Believing in yourself is the key to being a complete person. If you got the key, it can unlock any door and take you wherever you want to go, yada yada. He's such a cornball. But, you know, he was a dad. And then she thanks the coach and leaves. The coach, however, now she's got this bug in her head. She grabs the yearbook from 1988 of Lovecraft Academy and opens it up. to see the Lovecraft senior drama, The Tempest. And she's part of the play. She was...
Well, it goes through and it lists all the players in there. You've got Mark Cho, Lucas Caravaggio, Ellie Whedon, Rendell Locke, Kim Topher, and Aaron Voss.
And along with the professor, Joe Ridgway.
Yeah.
Which was the director. But we... What we focus on is, on the very next panel, we're focusing on Luke staring down at what looks to be the bracelet that Rendell is wearing. The exact same bracelet that Kinsey wore. At least that's the way they made the panel out to be. I'm not sure
if that was total. It does seem to look like that, for sure.
So we go back to Kinsey, and she is just freaking out again. She sees her reflection in the window, is just scared of herself again.
She's jumping at her own reflection.
Yeah. It's like she doesn't know who she is.
Paranoia, 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 something's coming to get me.
But she finally...
For what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. But this is the moment where she finally decides that she's going to take control of the situation. We then see Jackie coming down the stairs to open to the door that's being knocked at. I said those words all weird.
The door that's being knocked at?
Yep, said those words all weird.
Somebody's knocking on the door, and she's going to answer it.
And she opens up the door, and there is Kinsey with sporting a brand new haircut, asking Jackie if she would like to go for a run. And, you know, Jackie's got a smile on her face, so obviously they're best friends now, because that's how teenagers work, right?
Or maybe she likes her, you don't know.
Actually, we do know, because it comes later.
We don't know yet.
That's fair.
She's still wearing her bracelet, again, as usual.
It's not changing
thing.
But even when she's running, she doesn't take it off. I know, that's a more awkward
thing.
Yeah.
It's a pretty heavy bangle.
Even just like a regular wristwatch, you know, if you're running with that sucker, it's, you know, pounding the back of your hand and, you know, and just like,
Who wears wristwatches anymore?
Nobody, but back when, you know, we were kids before we had, you know, pocket
back
watches.
In 2008 when this was actually made, yeah.
People we wore Fitbits now.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more Lock and Key.